I'd like, for example, to know what measures are being adopted to ensure that the migrant population does not bear the brunt of the consequences of the heightened security situation, and that they can have the documents they need to be able to have access to education and work, and also the investigations and responsibilities for the deaths of children during the protests. I just wonder whether anybody has been held responsible for these cases, and what is the prosecution service doing about this. There's also the tension on the question of legislation that opposes standards established in our convention. I also have a few questions on access to adequate information. What exactly is the state doing to support children to receive child-appropriate information? My colleague Jaffe mentioned the Camilla case. This is emblematic because we find a violation of Article 16, because Camilla was not able to access appropriate information for her situation as an Indigenous child. To be able to access justice, but also given the high levels of violence, it is crucial that the state does something about this. The other thing is, how does the state promote access to information through the media? And on this, I'd like to ask you about the digital arena. What safeguards are in place, and what safeguards are you taking to protect children from the media? We've obviously taken a leap forward since the pandemic, but we have heard that the Peruvian state has been very active in opening the doors to artificial intelligence, and Act 31 to 14, when it refers to safeguards for children, had to address these large communication corporations, and it seems like the safeguards are on the back burner or on standby. So in connection with AI, I'd like to ask what measures the state is taking to guarantee protection for children in the digital world, and to use this perhaps as a way to tap into the potential, because we know that the digital world can be a support, or can be a good, helpful tool for children. Then, on children who've been separated from their parents for some reason, there's a Decree 001 of 2020 which stipulates that the MIME can apply protection measures as long as children have not come into conflict with the law. So it seems like having come into conflict with the law might exclude them from accessing protection measures. Why does this exclusion exist? And then, without wanting to overlap with my colleague, Mr. Jaffe, I wanted to say that I was able to speak with the leader who reported the Condorcanq case, and I'd like to say that I felt the solitude of those leaders, because, first of all, they're not believed. Nobody believes them, and then because the institutions generally are rather hostile to such leaders. What is the state doing to try to support these claims, and also for the children who suffered abuse in the school environment in these communities? And then I'd like to ask you about abuse at the hands of the clergy, but in particular on the Alessio case. This is a historic case, and the Vatican in 2024 took steps that did not fully satisfy victims. But I can't see what measures are being taken by the Peruvian state in order to answer the victims and also to ensure that there's no repetition of such crimes. We see that the Peruvian Congress began an investigation, but because of the pressure exerted by this group from the Catholic Church, we see that there is a cover-up. So I'm just wondering what exactly is being done to prevent abuse within the church, and in particular in the Solisio case, what measures have been taken to try to uphold the rights of the victims and survivors? Thank you.
Philip Jaffe.
Thank you very much. I'm just trying to sort out, because my colleague Pedernera addressed the clergy issue, so indeed, I think it would be